Let's start in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds to your word. Give us a heart to understand your message. Help us, Lord, to honor you as we discuss, as we bring your word together. Bless the time of the children, the youth group. And we pray for those who are still coming, Lord, that you bring into our midst. We pray that you bless them, that you bring them safely, and that we all can truly join together to honor you in worship. In your name, amen. Amen. So we've been talking about the book of Acts. When I was younger and I moved to the States, I started going to church. And in a conversation, I couldn't remember Acts. I remembered the word Hechos de los Apóstoles. You know, the book of the Hechos de los Apóstoles. And I'm trying to get the word. I'm like, hey, it's the book of the doings of the apostles. They're like, okay, the doings. So ever since, it's the doings, not the acts. The doings of the apostles. Anyhow. So we've been talking. We went through what we think is the summary of the book of Acts. We're still here in the first part, the birth of the church. We're going to go through chapter 3, verses 17 to 26. We covered the first two chapters, Freddie and I, the 40 days, ascension and Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We cover all the way to wonders and signs, and last time I was here, we talked about the healing of the lame man, and Freddie started then with the sermon of Peter. It started on verse 11. So I want to please go to your books of the doings of the apostles. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read 17 through 26. Acts 3, 17 to 26. And it says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So before that, we see him proclaiming Jesus, Peter proclaim, and we talked about the servant Jesus. That's what Freddie covered last time. And then we're going to talk about repenting men of Israel and circling back to the Old Testament. But Freddie asked a question, which is, who is Jesus and what happened to him based on what Peter said. And he talked about that Peter talked about a glorified servant of God, that Jesus is holy, the righteous one, that he's the author of life. And this was Peter saying, this is what happened. That's what Peter said between verses 11 to 16. He covered all of that, the Savior. And then he covered the delivery by the Jews, the denying of the presence of Pilate, the kill by, all of that we cover, and Peter covers between verses 11 and 16. And who was Peter talking to? Anyone? Who?
Jews.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. You're talking to Jew. Yes, he was. Because we learn in chapter 2 that they continue to meet in the synagogue. Because that's what they were. They were good Jewish people that went three times a day to the temple to do what they were taught to do from the prophets. Okay? We all follow? Yeah? So we talked about some of that, and we just read that. Mm-hmm. And now I want to cover in pieces. I want to cover 17 and 18, and then other two sections. So it says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." So, brothers, and I just gave you the answer. He's talking to them because they are brothers. They're Jewish people. They're all brothers. We called a bunch of people here brother, sister. But are we truly brothers and sisters? Yes, we are. If we believe in Christ, we're truly brothers and sisters. And Peter is saying, we believe in the same God. We come here. Now let me tell you. And sometimes we've had conversations and we say, bro, brother, hear me out. It opens the door. It lowers the tempers, I guess. Hey, brother. Now, he doesn't speak to them in one way. He doesn't speak to them as they are already Christians. By the way, Christians, we coined that as us now. They didn't know they were Christians then. They were not referred to. But he doesn't talk to them as believers in Christ, but they are his brothers. Okay? Now, he says, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Why mention this? Why telling them you didn't know what you were doing? You acted in ignorance. Yes, sir. Okay, we can go to next door now. We're done. He is connecting, because when they went to the synagogue, what were they reading? The Old Testament, the papyrus, whatever, however they. But why mention it? Let's go to Numbers. Who can help me? Number 15, and this I found very, very interesting. Where's my Bible here? Numbers 15. Verse 22, Numbers 15. Who has it? You have it? Start reading from 22. I'll stop you somewhere in the middle there. Uh-huh. When you what? Unwittingly, meaning what?
Ignorance.
Stop. So, and don't sit down. Don't sit down. You're reading so well. I want you to read it. So, the book of Numbers, If you're like me, you try to avoid it as much as you can. But the book of Numbers is the book that actually includes everything that happens to the Israelites in the wandering. And there's a lot of stuff there. It's a lot of orders, commands from the Lord for them to do. And we find that the Lord says, oh, by the way, if you sin unintentionally, an ignorance, so you don't even know you're sinning, you ought to do this. So here's Peter telling them, hey, go back to the Old Testament. Go back to the prophets. And yes, you sinned. You didn't know what you were doing. But you have to pay for it too. Because the Lord says that you have to, and he gives you a bunch of stuff. Now jump to 29. So hold on. So there's the same law for those who are Israelites and those who live with you. So everyone who lives with you, this law applies to them. Keep going. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. So he's saying, you acted in ignorance, and this also your rulers. So they know there's a law. There's a process for asking for forgiveness for something you did that you didn't know you were, it was a sin. So he's using, again, the Old Testament to bring back to them Jesus. So he starts. Brothers, you have to pay because you didn't know what you were doing. We even read Christ on the cross saying what? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You acted in ignorance. But it says also, but God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, he does fulfilled. So what ignorance? An ignorance, not lack of opportunity to understand, but an ignorance of failing to perceive with understanding. You understand? Ignorance, not lack of opportunity to understand. They had the opportunity to understand. It's not that you were not taught. It's not that you have not read it. It's an ignorance of failing to perceive to understand. We have a saying in Spanish. Yes, I'll be with you in a second. No hay peor ciego que el que no quiere ver. There's none so blind as those who will not see. Yes, sir. Say that again. Because I right. So let me ask you this. Is it truly ignorance when it's willfully ignorant?
No, it's not.
It's you know the truth, but you don't want to follow the truth because it's selfish in because it hurts you. So it's not ignorance. And that's his point. You've been reading this for so long that when it hit you in the face, you didn't know it was what you read. And the argument, I think Mike has it correctly, is you have those who didn't see because they didn't know. And you have those who didn't want to see and knew, but it wasn't beneficial politically for them. And that's what he says. Your ignorance and those also your rulers. And that's why I wanted to read Numbers 29:31, because it said, but the person who does anything with a high hand, whether he's native or a sojourner, reviles the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people. So they're going to get it because they willfully did something. I'll be with you. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be utterly cut off. Yes, sir. And that's his point. Again, His point is, you sinned because you didn't know. Others sinned, but they knew. The healing that happened, the lame that triggered all this, it's another opportunity to understand. How many opportunities they didn't have to understand that Christ was the Savior. And here again, the Lord is providing another opportunity for them. Any other questions here? No? Yes? Yes. But he gives us the opportunity. And that is the point. That is the point of Peter. That is exactly Peter's point. He says, here I am. Again. It's not about me or what I did healing this lame person. It is about God and what he promised from the beginning. And that you've been studying. That's the point. And that's the point then, and that's the point today. And I know I'm speaking to the choir. But it doesn't matter, because the choir has to listen to it. Because we have to. Now, 19 to 21. Repent. Yes, sir. So you weren't honest before.
Enjoy listening. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of message in that, I guess.
And we have to understand that because they're in the choir, not necessarily means they're part of the choir.
True.
We were talking on a prayer meeting last time. I forgot his name. That now he is convinced that he doesn't even believe in God. And I don't know. I don't know. How do we measure the true believer? I don't know, guys. I think the Bible tells us. I think we have the fruit of the Spirit we have to look for. And I think there's a change. And it's a change in everyone. And we need to continue to work on our salvation, it says, right? But we need to continue not only to listen to it, but we're called to, as you go therefore and make disciples. All right, so let's continue on. So 19 and 21, repent therefore. And turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may be sent, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom in heaven must receive until the time for restoring for all things about which God spoke by the mouth of these holy prophets long ago. So, you killed him. You did it. But all you have to do is repent. 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 Repent and what? And turn. Repent and turn back. All right, so you need to see Jesus as your Savior, is what he's saying. Who can look for it? Luke 3:8. Someone else, Luke 5:32. And I would like to step ahead from our book of Acts and look at Acts 8:22-23. And the point I'm going to make is that is the apostolic message. Repent. That is the message. The message is repent, repent. Who has Luke 3:8? And this is John the Baptist. Even before Christ became his a public figure, let's say. And he is saying, repent! So it's not the first time they hear this. Who has Luke 5? Go, sir. Uh-huh. So here's Jesus saying, repent. And here's Peter again saying, repent. And who better to talk about repentance than Peter? Huh? Have you ever thought about that? This is Peter, who I imagine cry like a baby. The guilt that he felt, and I'm going to connect for the time of refreshing he felt when Christ verbally said to him, I love you, Peter. Three times, right? And I can add the tone. I know we're not supposed to, but I love you, Peter. Repent. Who has Acts 8? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So this is Peter and Simon was and Simon Peter to Simon, who was practicing magic, and he says, "I want to have what you have." And Peter says, "Repent, because it's not what you want." You want to make money. You want to do some stuff for yourself, right? Repent. So there is Peter saying, repent, and therefore, turn back. Turn back. What does that mean? What do you think it means? Turn back. Turn around? Yes, sir? So we're turning from self to God. Turning from self to God. To understand it is all by grace, right? What else? Yes, sir. All right, what did they do of ignorance? All right, which is, it couldn't mean more wicked. So, and we're going to get to it because he gets to it on verse 26. Right, they're turning back because you're turning back to God, to the actual Word of God, from not understanding the Word of God to understanding, to living for it, to come in to him and not whatever else you're doing. Right? All right, so let me answer it this way. Because then he gives them three blessings for turning back. Three blessings, right? And I think it's important that it is of God. Yes. He is going to make you, or he is going to allow you to repent, to turn back. And by doing that, he is going to give you three awesome blessings, he says. Right? I'm not arguing that it's not of God, but God is asking us to go and preach. And that's what Peter is doing. You are not going to change people's hearts, but you are going to plant the seed for God to do what he does with his help. Yes, sir. Okay. I think it's right. But you have three blessings. We have three blessings by repenting and turning back. And let's not get hung up on the turn back, because it is the important message. The important word of Peter is, you need to repent. And every one of us have had, whether we understand it or not, an event. Something's happened to us that we say, I cannot do this anymore. Amen. I cannot continue to believe this anymore. I cannot continue to do this anymore, to live this way anymore. And I have to give my back to that and face something else that is going to give me a better living than what I have today. And we I'm assuming most of us have said, it is you, Christ. So we turn back to him because we were going the other way. That's the point. And we get, according to Peter, and I believe so, number one, your sins are blotted out. There's nothing there. And it's very interesting because the ink that I used to print this, it's very difficult to erase. But in their time, the papyrus that they used, the ink that they used, did not actually penetrate the paper. So to erase it, all you needed was cloth and water, and it would lift the ink like nothing happened. And it's very difficult for us to understand because even when we use an erasable pen, and we erased, there's still a trace. And even if you come back the day after, you cannot erase it. So it's not that it's scratched, like I've heard some people say. No, it's not there anymore. Completely erased. You're going like this, but do you really understand that? Do you really, really, truly understand that nothing that you have done, nothing that he knows that you will do, it's there? I know. Mind-blowing. But thank goodness I don't have to understand all of it because it is God. I want to because I'm selfish and I want to know it all. And I'm a control freak and I want to know, yes, everything. No. No. Obliteration that leaves no trace. And we see it in the Old Testament too. We see it in Exodus, for those of you taking notes. Exodus 32:32, Moses asked for forgiveness by blotting himself out of the book of life. He said, forgive them or erase me from the book of life. In Psalm 51:9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And Isaiah 43, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So they're very familiar with the term. They know things, and we complain because we have to read the Old Testament. Read it. And then two more blessings. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Two blessings, in addition to erasing completely your sins. Let's talk about refreshing, a time of refreshing. What do you think it means? It's a Coca-Cola in the summertime when we're on the beach and I'm sweating like... Remember the commercial? That's refreshing. That's torture. That's diabetes, says her. Refreshing. Anyone? Yes, sir. Right. But what about the time of refreshing for you and I today? Because that's coming. We know that's coming. That's the hope in Christ. He's coming back. And that's his third blessing. But what about the time of refreshing? Yes, sir. Relieve from our ways and our sins. Okay? Yes? What else? Is that automatically done? Uh-huh. It's either yes or it's no. With you, I don't know. I have no idea what you... Okay. Okay, I follow what you're saying. Anybody else? Edwin, you wanted to say something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. The kingdom will come. So you just read my notes. So that's exactly it. That's exactly it. How many rules they had to follow? Too many is too many. It's an understatement. 600 and blah, 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 blah. And they lived their lives continually seeking to follow all those rules. And he's saying, it's not rules anymore. Vacation time is coming in Christ. You don't have to do all this. Although Peter was a Jewish man, And the argument with Paul and Peter, and we'll talk about that later, because he sort of knew, and it was difficult for him because he was a Jew. But he's saying, Christ, it's here. Christ came. You saw him. Christ died because of you, but for you. And we all know this. We've read all the other books all the way to Revelation, but they didn't have that. They had the apostles and the Old Testament. And he's saying, listen to the prophets. And the time of refreshing, the time of not continually waiting for something or someone, it's already here. It's done. And we have to look at both of them, the last two blessings together, because exactly what Edwin said, and we use the word eschatological, because it's the end of times, and we have to wait. And he says, he is with God, but he's coming back. Yes, ma'am. For everyone, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. It's nothing more refreshing than that. And I agree with her. And some of you, if not all of you, have heard my testimony. And I truly believe, you know, I did hear Jesus looking at me and say, you are forgiven. And that moment of boom is the happiest moment in my life. And I want to repeat it as often as I can, and I can't. That moment, I can. Refreshing moments in him, especially when I don't feel well enough, when I don't feel, when I feel really mecha corta, when I know I'm messing up, short fuse. But it is. It's a time of refreshing. Sometimes we go to, we've gone to the Gospel Coalition, and it's a time of refreshing. On Tuesday, the men come, and it's a time of refreshing. Hopefully, we're here today, and it's a time of refreshing for you guys. Camping is a time of refreshing. That's a time of refreshing. That's a time of refreshing. That is the point. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Boom. But I wanted to give you the word of refreshing, and I'm going to kill it. Anabziko, anazikong, is used in other places to refer of a time of cooling. Used in the Old Testament in Exodus 23:12, 6 days you shall do work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, that the son of your servant woman and the alien may refresh. In First Solomon, and whether a handful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. 1 Samuel, right? It's those times that the Lord provides for a great connection with him. Through others, through your own reading of the word. Now, the idea, as Edwin said, is of a time of respite until Christ comes. The completion of God's plan with the return of the resurrected Christ, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring. His point, Brad's point. Heaven holds Jesus at God's side until the day he is revealed in return. Luke 21 says, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding for what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaking. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus is not passive until his return. Jesus is quite active now and at that time. The healing of the lame man wasn't Peter, it was the Spirit. And that's Peter's point. It's not me, guys. I'm here to tell you to repent because of these great blessings. And Acts, and let's move on. Anything else? This is great. Anything else? I don't know what I did with. Refreshing. Then Acts 22 to 25. Then he goes back to the Old Testament. He continually, that's all they had. And that's what Christ taught him. The Old Testament is not about the stories of just Moses and Abraham and that. It's about me. And Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The forgiveness, refreshment, and return on of in Christ had been written by the prophets. So he said, this is what happened. This is who you kill. And all of that was said to you in the Old Testament through the prophets. People you revere, people you love, people that you talk to everyone and said, I am from the tribe of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But you didn't see it. And this is the Christ. And in other words, he said, you want to know what's coming? Read the prophets. Read Isaiah. All the major and minor prophets. They talk to you about what's coming. Right? Moses talks about the promises to all the Israel. Samuel and the others, they talk about Christ's lineage and King David. And that applies to all of you because we are part of what? Of the covenant. With whom? With Abraham, he says. With Abraham. We're children of the covenant. Isn't that the big deal in the Old Testament? That's the biggest deal in the Old Testament. Children of the covenant. And that's what he's saying. You want to know what's coming? You want to know why it happened? Go to the prophets. Jeremiah 15 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And Isaiah 51 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, and for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. And then at the end, he says, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Be righteous. The blessings come through the servant, raised by God himself, sent first to his people. To the Jews. And I know then it goes to the Gentiles. But first to his people. And turn each one of them from their acts of wickedness. Back, turn, and receive the blessing. I want to read a quick summary by William Larkin. It says, Peter preaches from the Torah. Here is the promised seed, servant, prophet, leader, like Moses, who is the author of life, to receive the right to participate in this divine refreshment and the realization of all things. One must repent and turn so that sin may be blotted out. But to reject his promise is to guarantee that that one will not be among God's people. The opportunity to share in the blessing God gave to Abraham is available only for those who turn to the one who God sent to them. Blessing is a gift from God, but it requires conscious reception of itself. Everything is at stake, namely the covenant relationship with God and the deliverance it brings. Salvation is not by human right or by ethnic origin. It comes through a response to the promise of God. It's all about him, what he did. Repent and turn back from your wickedness and receive the blessings of refreshment. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. We ask that you forgive us, Lord. You forgive me when I say things that are wrong, that are of no value to you. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, and we ask that you help us to turn back. We know, Lord, that you are our Lord. Help us to make you completely our Lord. We worship you and we honor you, Lord, because you die on the cross and because you resurrected. Be with us, Lord, as we continue in fellowship, in worship, in song, in reading of your word, and in preaching. In your name, Lord, amen.